You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome back to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. And this week, also, VHS fanatics. I'm John, and I'm bringing you another interview that I recorded while Kim was away sick. We're talking with Micheline Pitt Norman and R.H. Norman this week. They directed the segment Home Haunt in VHS Halloween, which is on Shudder right now. I think, like you, I have made these new VHS movies almost a Halloween tradition. There's a new one every October, it seems. And we're obsessed with found footage here at Nightmare on Film Street. It is probably our favorite subgenre, and we have very strong opinions about what makes a good one. Obviously, the VHS series has been doing these really cool things where they've been theming the movies, or theming the overall tone for the segments. I still think they're falling a little bit short on their wraparounds, but, you know, it's nice to see something kooky split up over, you know, seven parts. The wraparound that they have for VHS Halloween is actually very, very funny and very, very gory. I think you're really going to like it. But yeah, the last few have been set around years, like, I think there was 94, 99, I think there was 85. Last year's was a sci-fi horror spin. This year we're going full Halloween, which is what we've always wanted. You know, I think one of everybody's favorite segments comes from the first VHS movie, the closing segment done by Radio Silence. I think it's called 10/31/98. I think that's right. But it's set on Halloween night, like every segment in this movie. And truly, I think the most Halloween segment is Micheline and RH's. It's called Home Haunt. It is about a family that is hosting their own handmade home haunt, and things go horribly wrong. It is a lot of fun. I hope you guys have had a chance to check it out. Again, if you haven't already, it's on Shudder. We talk about, it's hard to talk about a anthology segment without spoiling the entire thing. We actually have an anthology film that we're going to be talking about later this month, and we have the exact same problem. But, you know, if you like anthology films and you like Halloween movies, you might be able to guess what we're talking about at the end of the month. So if you haven't already, I highly recommend checking out VHS Halloween. It's really fun, and also, you don't want one of the best segments to get totally spoiled for you. There is one little Easter egg, I guess, one little fun cameo that we did not bring up once during the interview, because I thought it would be a real fun surprise for anybody that hasn't seen it yet. So even if you're listening to this before watching the movie, still a little surprise for you over there. Anyway, this was a really fun chat. I got to talk with Micheline and RH about, you know, their lifelong obsession with Halloween, with horror, how they developed the story, and, you know, their surprise when they found out that they were going to be the closing segment of the movie, which had to be some cool news to find out. But, you know, if you love Halloween, and I'm pretty certain you do, I think you're really going to enjoy this chat. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I really appreciate it. I loved your segment in VHS Halloween. Do you want to introduce yourselves and tell everybody about your segment?
I'm Micheline Pitt Norman.
And I am R.H. Norman, and we are a married writing directing team, and our segment is the closing segment on VHS Halloween, and it's called Home Haunt. And it's, you know, a really crazy, wild segment about a core family who builds, you know, a local Halloween attraction, a local maze in their backyard, and they accidentally set things off and it gets a little too real for them and the neighbors. So that's it's our segment.
Imagine like if Goosebumps happened, but it's R-rated.
Yeah.
That's what we'd like.
Hell
to
yeah.
And if Peter Jackson directed it back in the day when he was doing like Dead Live and Frighteners.
Yeah, that was our goal.
That was our goal.
One hell of a sell. I do think you accomplished it, though. It is an awesome closer
amazing.
Of a segment.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. I know we're being a little ambitious with those references, but that's what we were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Did you always know you were going to be the closing segment, or was that just something after?
No.
Yeah,
No one ever
okay.
knows what the layup is,
That's
and we
cool.
actually don't know what each other are really doing, especially all the directors that shot in internationally and in different states. We had no idea what their stuff was, what it looked like, what it was about. We only got to see some of Casper and Anna's because they were shooting in town with us, and we were shooting so close together that we got to see visit each other or see stuff getting made. So we had a little idea, but it wasn't as much as, you know, we know after seeing it.
Yeah, and apparently this is the first VHS where they didn't have to do a lot of testing in terms of the ordering of it. Apparently the producers normally spend many, many hours watching different iterations of the cut to see which segments played best with which one. And apparently when we all turned in our cuts, it apparently was just obvious to them from the get-go. It was like this, you know, Honest had to open, ours had to close. And it's funny because they paired ours with Kid Print, right? Kid Print's before us
Yep.
and right after, and it's kind of a trick or treat kind of idea.
Oh,
Like,
sure. Yeah.
this is a trick and ours a treat, and they ended up being kind of like a thesis antithesis on kid killing, you know. So
I think they complement each other
they
in some
do.
strange way. And Alex Rosberry is an incredible, gifted, you know, filmmaker and writer. And honestly, like, we just are so excited to be in this installment with all these other talented people.
Yeah. I mean, for sure, we were the least kind of known filmmakers, I think, in the whole thing. So when they're like, oh, you guys are closing it, we felt really proud of that. But mostly we're just like, you know, just honored to be a part of such a storied anthology with so many great directors, like, you know, David Bruckner and Radio Silence and Scott Derrickson
Ty West,
and Johannes Roberts.
Katie Siegel.
There's just a ton, you know. So
Yeah.
we've been very, very you know, fortunate, and we're
And the
very
film
honored.
screen. So, of course, who's going to say no to that?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you already know exactly what you wanted to do before, like when they came to you ab about the project?
We pitched four ideas that were all distinctly different. Like, they couldn't
Cool.
be more different from one another. And this is the one that all the producers collectively said yes to, which we were very excited because it was the most like wild and creative of all of them.
Right on.
And what was funny when we turned the script in, the first thing they all said is like, wow, this is really ambitious, which is the thing we keep
You don't
hearing
want to hear that
about
from the producer. Yeah. It's not a
us.
compliment. It's not
Yeah,
whatever
it's like
you're
there's no possible way that we believe you could do this, is essentially what they're
exactly. Every
saying.
exactly. Wrong. I feel like every time.
Well, hey, we're here because they have faith in us. So
They
it's like, you
did.
know, they you know, there was definitely some discussion about whether the script we turned in was achievable with the time and the budget, which was nothing.
5 days.
And like very little money relative to what we were trying to accomplish. So
Yeah.
it's like, you know, yeah, so we turned in four different things of various different tones, and I think this one was a little bit closer in terms of what they liked about our other short, Grummy, that we did a couple years ago. And this had that kind of fantastic borderline, you know, some of it looks and feels a little bit like a fairy tale, and just has more of a fantasy horror kind of like edge to it. And I think that really grabbed the producers. And we can tell you one of the other pitches we had that got
Hell yeah.
So there's a guy, I don't, this is very specific to Central Florida, but the main character, Keith, his alter ego, Dr. Mortis, is based upon my hometown horror host, Dr. Paul Bearer, who is like the longest running horror host in
That's
history.
cool.
And one of our first pitches, and this one had some fans in the producing team too, but we wanted to do Dr. Paul Bearer's final Halloween special in his soundstage, and all of a sudden the bee monsters come to life, and he's
I love
like
that.
trying
Yeah.
to film them to like save his show, which is getting canceled that night, and it's just chaos.
Very similar setups in the past where it's in a sound stage in a studio, and it just felt like a little too repetitive to
Sure.
what they've done.
So they let us say, you can take your hometown like horror host character, let's just move it into Home Haunt. And so we were very happy
And
about
it was
that.
easy to repurpose that for the dad, Keith.
Yeah,
So
right
if you
on.
look at Dr. Paul Bearer and look at his aesthetic, you'll see a lot of similarities between our style choice and
I'm
Keith.
definitely gonna look him up after this for
Yeah.
sure. Yeah, and I think for a lot of horror fans, like the VHS movies have kind of become a bit of a tradition now. Like we kind of expect them every October now. Do you have any like it, looking at you in your office? I can tell you do. But like, what are your Halloween traditions? Like, what do you guys do, have to do every year for yourselves?
Well, every year, all the neighborhood and the kids call us the Halloween house. They also
Right
call
on.
us Witch House because our house is like a Tudor vintage house. It looks like I eat children, you know. That's the vibe it gives off. There's actually a permanent witch statue that's from the 60s that sits in front of our house and like ceramic pumpkins and skulls. So our house always looks kind of spooky. So this will be the first year. I think we just don't have the time to decorate, but usually it takes 3 days. I have an entire shed filled to the ceiling. I've been years collecting pumpkins, and everything is very traditional. We have an animatronic witch. This is my only kind of modern looking decoration. So usually we go all out decorating and give out candy every year. Like most people, there's a certain roster of films that we save to watch during
Course.
October season, and then it's about going to Knott's Scary Farm and Halloween
Okay.
Horror Nights and all the haunt maze experiences that LA has to offer, because both of us grew up going to them. I worked at a haunted house as a kid.
Oh,
I worked
cool.
at Netherworld in Atlanta growing up as a teenager, and you got to go to Halloween Horror Nights, which I'm so jealous because I did not live anywhere near that to
Yeah, I've
go
been
to it.
going to Halloween Horror Nights since I was 10. So we're just like, we're pretty introverted people. So like October is like where like 90% of our like social activities happen. It's just
Yes.
like every night there's something, and we love to see all the new movies that are coming out and all of our old movies. We watched I don't know if you just said that. We watched
We just watched Hocus Pocus
last
last night.
night. Right on.
It's an annual tradition. You have to watch that. And then I think we're going to do Halloween 3 this week.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That one seems to be growing in popularity
And
every single
it
year.
should.
Yeah, that one is like to me, honestly, that's my favorite Halloween movie. Like
Wow.
I just it has everything I love about it. It feels,
I'm sure people will fight us over
yeah, I mean, yeah,
that.
the first Halloween is great. It's a
Yes.
masterpiece of horror filmmaking and no one's gonna deny that. But like the one that I felt like where I felt like John Carpenter was really cooking was with the third one, because to me that was the point where they could have taken this franchise somewhere awesome,
Oh,
where it
yeah.
became its own annual anthology with like just really big ideas. And
But
you
they
could always
chickened
reboot.
out.
It chickened
They
out.
chickened
And
out.
it had such a good start. Cause like if you think about it, the swing they took, it's hard that they even made such a good film as Halloween 3. Like it was just such a great thing. So I don't know. We're huge fans of that movie.
Yeah, and like I totally get that you got to defend it every once in a while. I'm like the one guy, me and my co-host, like huge fans of Halloween Resurrection. Nobody else in the world seems to like it.
No.
I've got movies that no one seems to like too, but
Is that the
that's
one Busta Rhymes Kung Fu fought him?
you're goddamn right it is.
Okay. No, I like that. I like that one.
one of my favorite movies is Society.
Yeah.
And I feel like people don't have never even seen the movie, or like they don't, they're like, oh, and I'm like, Screaming Mad George, guys. Are you
Yeah,
kidding me?
it's a weird one to pull out, like depending on the crowd, because you're like, hey, heads up, this is gonna be the grossest thing you've seen all year.
Yeah.
I love doing that to people.
Oh yeah, it's way too much fun. So I have this theory, and like I want to run it past you. Like, do you think that your love of horror stems from Halloween as a kid? Like, or do you have a specific memory as a child being like, oh, I love horror movies, or do you think it was just Halloween?
I think they go hand in hand. I mean, I was doing Halloween stuff at the point that I could walk. I've got all
Yeah.
my old photos, and I was literally a monster. It looks like it was eating my head. Then I was Satan, like a red devil Satan, the next year. And then I was monsters. I was always scary stuff. I never
Cool.
wanted to be a princess. I never wanted to be anything girly. And I saw Pumpkinhead because my babysitter was watching it when I was like 3 or 4 years old. So
That's the
like
way to do it.
immediately I was like, what is this? So I think that you can't not love horror and also not love Halloween. And I don't think you can really love Halloween without also loving genre. You might
Yeah.
not like all of horror, but you're
Yeah.
going to get into some of it.
Yeah, my entrance came from the guy that I mentioned earlier, Dr. Paul Barrick, because he had a show called Creature Feature every Saturday, and that was like more important to me than the Saturday morning cartoons. He would play like some really great horror movies and some really bad ones. Like I remember I watched three because of his show. I watched Night of the Lepus at least three times, and I don't recommend that to anybody. The one with the bunnies, and they try to like do a
Yeah,
macro, like
yeah.
gotta make them slow down, like they're scary. I watched that at least three times when I was a kid because of Dr. Paul Bear, and I would go see him in parades and stuff. And so he and I would say dinosaurs and just were kind of my entry gate into, because I was obsessed with dinosaurs even in like preschool. And then I found Godzilla, and then I found these creature feature things, and it all kind of blurred together. And Halloween is just like a part of that for me.
Yeah, I was definitely a Halloween kid. Like that was like my autistic special interest, and that's never changed. It's like how an autistic kid can talk about trains. Like I can get really into Halloween and go into the history of it and like, you know, just the importance of it and just everything. And most, I'd say 80% of the props, wardrobe, decor, everything you see in Home Haunt comes from our own personal collection.
Wow,
That's why it's
that's
very direct.
awesome.
Like I just was really committed to it, and I also I should mention, like I am autistic, so I can say that. was the
I
biggest incident.
assumed,
That's
yes.
my word. I can say it. But I, when he told us the theme, I was like kind of, tizzed out in that moment and was like geeking out about all the things they could do with Halloween with Josh Goldblum, not like to pitch us, but just like, you guys could do this. And then there's this era of costumes, like, check this out. And then this. And I was just kind of so excited. And that's how I think he came back to us and said, do you guys want to do VHS Halloween? And we're like, yes, please.
Yeah, it's like you've been working toward this your entire life. I love that.
Yeah. I'm not done yet. We got to make a feature film that's Halloween.
You fucking better.
Yeah, we really want to.
Like that's the thing that I really loved about your seg I mean, there's lots to love about your segment, but it is the one that feels the most Halloween to me. Like they're all obviously Halloween segments and they have like a certain particular Halloween vibe. But like when I think of my Halloweens growing up, and what I want from a Halloween short. Like, that's exactly what you guys did. Like, I think you totally nailed it.
Awesome. Thank
Thank
you
you,
very
dude.
much. It means a
That was
lot.
our goal.
Yeah, that was our goal. We wanted it just like live and breathe for people like us. Like, and I think that's the kind of the same way we are, is we needed to satisfy ourselves with that. We needed to really feel like, okay, we really made this something that lives and breathes the season. And and we didn't have a lot of money, so we threw some leaves on the ground or
$25.
whatever, in 5 days. But I feel like that, Michelin, like I think probably 80% of our props came from our house.
Yeah.
You know, 80% of the thing. So a lot of it is just us building our home onto, locations and stuff like that, and putting all the stuff into it. It's really kind of how it was working. So yeah.
That's probably one of the biggest reasons why it looks as good as it does, is because we had so much stuff at our fingertips for free to
Yeah.
really push it to that point.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding Ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
But the gore gags, the special effects, like you really go over the top with all that. So like that had to be scary given that you only had such a small budget. Like who were you
Oh,
working with on that?
very. Like, so we didn't we had a very small budget. Time was even the more scarce resource. So we only really had like one or two, takes per setup. And what's interesting about that is that, we kind of like looked and analyzed a lot of found footage movies and how they handle gore and stuff. And one thing you'll find consistently in them is that they don't really show it happening. They kind of like, you'll be going there and you'll turn around and something be bloody and scary and you turn around again. And it's like, well, we want to give us something a little more satisfying because, we're asking a lot of this like wholesome kind of family thing and a VHS thing. And you're going to really have to also on the other end give people what they want out of it,
Oh,
or else
yeah.
it wouldn't fit in the franchise. And so we wanted like really explosive, crazy gore. And the other thing we challenged ourselves with is let's not just have the same monster killing the same person 80 times over and there's just blood spurting here and there. We wanted to make sure that every kill was an event. Everyone was staged differently, and that it all still fit the right framing for like found footage conventions.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't know if you do, like I'm pretty loosey-goosey with like most subgenres, but like I feel like I have really hard and fast rules about like what found footage should be. Like, are you the same way?
Yeah, and what's interesting is ours is the one I think out of all of the other than Coochie Coochie Coo, the first one, ours is the one that really can commits to the this is a camcorder. Someone is operating
Yeah.
it. We're not gonna have a cut in this unless it's someone powering it on, powering it off.
I love that Anna's like rewinds in her segment.
Yeah,
So I
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think that she really followed the rules really, really well. And I think like everybody took their own creative choices with found footage, and I love what they did with it. But like, we really wanted to stick to the rules. And the other thing that was really challenging is you can't have music. Like, you can't have a soundtrack playing
Unless
for
it's
the whole.
diegetic, like there's music
Yeah.
outside the maze because Keith's playing it through speakers, and you can have that.
Or he's playing the record in that
Right.
moment in the seance room. Otherwise, you have to be able to push people through and have them get scared or freaked out or stressed out just from the experience of what's happening. And you can't have any assistance because you're missing an extra sense that you don't have when you're watching these kind of movies.
Yeah, that's the most challenging thing about found footage, and I don't hear it often talked about, is that horror really, really, really relies on music. Like if
It
you
does.
know, if you're thinking
Yeah.
about like, even Halloween, one,
Watch
looking at your
out for the
shirt,
music.
watch out without his keyboard thing where Michael Myers is just standing outside of a thing. I mean, it's just if you take the music from something, it just strips it, and sometimes horror becomes
If
comedy.
you watch It Follows with no soundtrack, it doesn't work.
Yeah,
You know,
I bet it's boring without the
it is
soundtrack.
it the, this the music is integral
Yeah.
to experience
And so
and
that was the biggest challenge, was finding a way to make a satisfying horror film without being able to. And it's not like music is a crutch. Like she said, it's a sense. It's like
it's a
a
sense.
it's like an arm and a leg. You can't call it a crutch, like, oh, your music's saving your movie. No, horror
No.
is, the music's a part of it. So
It's a part of your storytelling and it's part of the film experience. It's a character.
yeah. Right.
It's different than what's on screen.
So that was a challenge.
Yeah, I bet. I think it's one of the things that I love about it, because like you really have to, more than any other subgenre, you really have to justify everything that you do.
Yeah.
Like there has to be a reason for absolutely everything. I mean, and luckily you get to put a haunted record in it. So I mean, that really helps.
Which was Joe Bishara did the music for that too.
No
So
shit. Wow.
yeah.
And Eric Powell, the creator of the Goon comic book, did the artwork for it.
Amazing. Are
So we have like a lot of
you
art.
releasing
They're
it? Can we
friends.
buy it?
Oh my God, you guys are going to have to bug Shudder about that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we were begging him to do like a seven inch
Little
release for like, at
small one.
least for like Fantastic Fest or Beyond Fest or whatever. And that one just didn't get done. We did do the bags, and that was cool. Michelin designed
Yeah, I
those.
designed the tote bags that they gave away that features Easter eggs from everybody's segment. So that was fun. But
We wanted
yeah.
the, we wanted the, do we have
I do
the,
have the record here. I actually have the
oh
prop.
wow, that's so
Of
cool.
course I
It's
do.
gonna get used in another short or a feature in a couple
Oh, I
years.
don't
It'll
know
just be in a
if you see
background
that, but
somewhere.
it's pretty great. I mean, like, look at
Looks
all those
awesome.
dead kids, man. Like, if I had
That
more money and time, this is what I would have delivered.
was actually kind of an unintentional line that's kind of become, I've seen multiple like Letterboxd reviews on it, when Zach is holding the record, he's like, a lot of dead kids in this, aren't there? And that's like the whole movie. And so, like, people are like using that line as like,
That a lot of other segments were just gonna kill kids, and we didn't set out to be like the kid killing installment or even our segment. When we turned in our script, they were really pushing it to be scarier and more intense. And I was like, well, I guess we need to kill some kids
Yeah, that was
then,
kind of how.
because
Oh no,
oh
oops, we gotta
no,
kill some kids.
we also love kids. Like, how do we go from making a movie protecting children to like killing them? Like,
Yeah.
that's kind of a wild shift
It's
for
called,
us.
in wrestling terms, called a heel turn. This is our
Yeah.
heel turn, children.
I mean, you're just showing the breadth of your abilities, right?
I like to think that the tone of our segment is fun enough that it's not offensive, because
No.
definitely not the directors that do like shocking or like extremist type of films in that way when it comes to like gore. So anything we do, we had to like have a purpose for it to happen, and we needed the tone to be right.
Yeah.
Of course. And I think you're right. I think like having Alex Ross Perry's segment, Kid Print, right before yours is definitely sort of sells that idea too, right?
Yeah, I think
Because
we complement each
his
other.
kills plenty of kids, and you don't feel fun. It's not fun. You
I
know?
was saying it's like, it's funny because like that is becoming something that's bearing out in the critical reviews. People are kind of like talking about the pairing of those two movies or those
Right
two
on.
segments. And it's like, they're like kind of like the trick and the treat. And it's like, we were talking, it's like the thesis and antithesis of kid killing in movies. It's like
Yeah,
they
yeah.
two different ways of doing it. And at the end of the day too, and this is something that we were hoping, and I think the audience is going to feel that, but like one of the great things about VHS, and maybe in this installment in particular, is like you can all have your favorite segments or whatever, but I don't think if you didn't have any of these given ones that it would be the same movie. And
No.
you want fans and critics really to appreciate that, and saying that this has something for everybody, and that
Yeah.
they complement each other, and that it
Absolutely.
has so many different elements of it. And
And so many talented filmmakers
yeah.
that we got to work with on this, and just so proud to be a part of that with them.
Yeah, that was our favorite thing about it when we watched it for the first time all together. We're like, man, everybody like really kind of came at this thing swinging, and you could feel the effort in every segment. And I would go as far as to say it's like just the sheer amount of effort and craft on display is like, way more concentrated and distilled than in most any horror films you're going to see, or anything like that. We all really tried hard, and I think that has delivered what I'm keep seeing from people. And it's the most flattering thing. This is like their favorite VHS installment for a lot of people.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Halloween. Like they already came in with like rose-colored glasses, right?
And
Like,
that was definitely a motivation for us to do this one because like love VHS, but it was like,
we gotta make sure if there's one segment that feels like fucking Halloween, we gotta make sure we do it.
It's a great, task to take on, but also the pressure's on for it. So at least you didn't, at least you didn't let it cripple you because you nailed it. You knocked it out of the park. It's
Thank
awesome.
you. Thank you. Yeah. We also, it was also important to us, and this isn't something we talked about yet, but we wanted it to be the shortest one.
Yeah,
We
really
wanted,
tight.
yeah,
It's
we wanted it
like
to be
we are
tight.
the shortest one. We're not even 18 minutes.
Yeah. So we were like, we wanted it to be like just breakneck and kind of like have like a really good smooth
Well,
flow
we
to it.
couldn't afford any more rooms or monsters at that point. Too, guys, let's
Yeah.
also be honest. There was no more money or time.
We had to cut a corn maze kind of idea where there was going to be a little more of a cat and mouse moment in there to like speed the action down. We couldn't get it in.
No.
That's all right. That would have been fun, but oh well. It's nice to keep it tight. It moves. So, do you have a favorite segment of the franchise? Like, let's ignore VHS Halloween maybe, because you're biased.
Yeah, we are
but
right.
like, do you have a favorite segment from some of the previous movies?
Yeah, and we have a lot of friends who have done this. David Bruckner is a friend of ours, and he's a filmmaker that we admire quite a bit.
Oh my gosh.
I love, like, look, the two that everyone always say, they say Safe Haven and Amateur Night. And
And I will say Justin Martinez's
Live and Let
Live and
Dive.
Let Dive in The Last Beyond is
That was really
incredible.
good. Yeah,
Yeah,
amazing.
that.
Incredible.
Justin, I think, is going to be a real big deal in filmmaking. And not only is he just a really great director, but he's also, he was like the glue of VHS. Like, if anybody ever deserves praise for making VHS work, I don't think it would happen without Justin Martinez because he does VFX on basically, every segment. But I tend to gravitate more towards the segments that have like a really heavy, motivated, kind of just constantly moving, concussive energy. So TMOs are great. One of my favorites, and this one, ours has gotten a lot of comparisons to that. It comes back to Justin Martinez, and that's 10/31/98.
Radio silence,
Yeah,
right?
Radio Silence. It kind of fit the same function as ours does at the end of Halloween to give people like a really one that just keeps moving. It's almost like a gauntlet of things. It's like just a continuous running camera Halloween theme that goes through. So, we like that one a lot.
Real quick, one last question. This can be super fast. I like to close out by asking people what their dream double feature would be at the drive-in. If you could take over a drive-in for one night, let's say Halloween night, what are the two movies you're going to play?
Halloween night. Oh man, there's not that many Halloween movies. That's what makes me
Oh, it doesn't
frustrated.
have to be a Halloween movie. It's
Okay.
just like this is it's Halloween night. What are the two horror movies you're gonna play?
I would probably want to do Pumpkinhead because that was one of the first horror movies I ever saw when I was a little kid, and I love that creature design that Stan Winston did, and that movie is like batshit. And then I would do Ernest Scared Stupid because
Oh
I
man.
think that those honestly go together.
Yeah, what that's a double bill I'm buying a ticket for.
I agree with that one. I'm not gonna complain for it. Like, look, we're from the South, and
We love Ernest.
Ernest was basically Pee-wee for redneck kids, and like
Yeah.
we loved him dearly. So that I think that's a really good double
And
bill.
it's a reuse of Killer Clowns from Outer Space masks and makeup as
Yep,
trolls, and it's
that's
sick.
mine. Mine would be Killer Clowns and Ernest Scared
Scared
Stupid
Stupid.
because they both have the same monsters in them.
That's a fun idea. Love it. Well, again, thank you so much for taking the time and for making such a killer segment. I'm really excited for everybody to check out VHS Halloween.
Thank you.
Awesome, dude. It was great talking to you.
Thank you again to Micheline and RH for taking the time to talk to us today on the podcast. You can watch VHS Halloween right now on Shudder. I mean, if you got a cool theater in your area, they might still be playing a couple screenings of it. It hit a couple film festivals. I know it played a few select theaters. I mean, if you could see this on the big screen, that's the way to go. But I mean, damn, watching it at home in your PJs with your Halloween decorations around, giant bowl of snacks is probably the way to go. Let us know what you thought of VHS Halloween, or if you're saving it for a different day on the 31-day horror challenge. Honestly, you could probably watch this movie for any prompt in the 31-day horror challenge. And I gotta say, it has been an absolute blast watching you guys post what you're watching, posting your setups at home. You guys have had some like really surprising picks. Like sometimes you throw out something simple like, oh, Airbnb of horror, and somebody just does like a fun little twist on it, like, oh, I'm watching this movie from the 40s, which obviously almost 100 years before Airbnb was invented, but is a perfect pick for that prompt. Share your picks with us. Let us know what you're watching this Halloween. Win yourself a cool prize pack. You can find all the info for it in the episode description. We'll be back again next week with another regular episode of the podcast. Kim's back! But until then, I'm John. Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.